Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we talk about the most basic of Christian subjects. Could there be anything more basic, more fundamental to the Christian faith, to the way we think about ourselves and our relationship with our God than forgiveness of sins? But not surprisingly, it is also a subject, basic as it is, that is sometimes tragically misunderstood, even by Christians. When Jesus died on the cross, did he die for all sins? Are all sins forgiven? We talk about, in our everyday life, those things that we can overlook, pardonable things, forgivable things. And so we do this all the time with one another. Someone wrongs us, we forget about it. But what if they wrong us and it's not forgivable? Do we still forgive? And what about our sins before God? Unforgivable as they are they really forgiven and why? We'll be answering some of those questions tonight on Issues Etc. It's Sunday, February the 10th. I want to hear from you on forgiveness. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, everyone who calls us or sends in an email tonight on the subject of forgiveness will receive a free pamphlet called Confession and Absolution. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest tonight to talk about forgiveness. He's associate pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Forgiving the Unforgivable. George, welcome back.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm very well. The Christian pretty much lives or dies, literally and figuratively, on the notion that all of his sins, whatever they may be, are forgiven by God. Does all really mean all?
You know, we have a wonderful, wonderful faith where all means all, is means is, and you're forgiven means you're forgiven. You know, we're in the season of Lent, and so our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When the Lord is on the cross in John 19, he has a sour wine, full vessel of sour wine, a sponge is put on a stick, and it's put to his mouth so that he can say one word. And he receives the sour wine, and he says one single word in Greek, to tetelestai, which means finished. It's finished. Or if he was doing accounting, it would be account settled. But for his having done salvation for us, accomplished, all of our sins paid for. The all of the judgment of God that he could have for our sins answered for. All that we would have to pay God, paid. And so, and then of course after he cries out to tetelestai, he gives up his spirit. No more work to be done. He's answered for your sins, my sins, the sin of the whole world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gospel is always in the all. All our sins are forgiven. Every sin answered for. Not a one not paid for. Not a one left out. And so the gospel is in all. Now, we would like to, when we deal with others, kind of not have all mean all, because we can hold something back and hold something over their heads. Remember the time in which you did this to me. My mother was excellent at that. When you were 17, you liked your girlfriend's mother's cooking more than mine, and it hurt me, and I'll never ever. Well, no. All means all with the Lord. All forgiveness, all salvation, all eternal life, given one on the cross. Delivered in the words, I forgive you.
Okay. It might sound like a stupid question, but if all my sins are forgiven when Christ pronounces me forgiven, then why do I keep asking for forgiveness? Shouldn't once be enough?
Because you have. have sins. I have sins too. He would bid us pray for forgiveness. You know, it seems like, well, doesn't it count once for all time? Well, no. I always like my kids to, when we go to restaurants, to ask me for Cokes. I don't like them just telling the waitress, you know, I'd like a Coke. Dad, can I have a Coke? The same with our Heavenly Father, who knows what we need before he asks him. He knows that we need forgiveness. He knows that we need eternal life. But for that to be ours, we ask for it. And I wonder if we really believe that we're forgiven. If we really believe that all our sins were forgiven. I wonder if we would sin anymore. Makes the whole thing about unbelief, doesn't it? It's good to hear the Lord forgive you of your sins. Confess your sins unto him. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if we say with God what our sins are, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1.
We talk about God's unconditional love. Those words just roll off the Christian's lip, sometimes without any thought behind them. But isn't there a condition? Doesn't God, as you just quoted that passage from 1 John, doesn't God require that we repent or confess before he forgives us?
Before. So you and I are going to hop into that time machine that we have. Is it in your backyard? Do you still have that time machine in your backyard?
No, there's no time machine at the Wilkin house.
Oh, man. Well, how are we going to get back there and repent before Christ dies for us? While we were yet sinners, Romans 5, Christ died for us. For ungodly, for people who don't deserve forgiveness, for people who deny him, who betray him, who sell him out all the time, for people who are not on his side, who live and act as if Christ did not die, he dies for them. He dies for you. He dies for me. He dies before we're even born. He achieves salvation before we even have an opportunity to give our lives to him, to commit ourselves to him, to tell him how big fans we are. No, he doesn't need that. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So before there's anything else, there is Christ dying for us. You can't get any more length than that.
Then, with only about a minute and a half before we take our first break, Pastor Borghardt, if God does not wait for us to repent or confess or come around before he forgives us, should we require that others repent or confess or come around before we forgive them?
It sure would be nice if they were repented. Would it be easy if when they stepped on our foot, they apologized, said, "I'm sorry." Oh, that'd be great. I forgive you too. No, he doesn't wait to forgive us. And we shouldn't wait to forgive those around us. And it's really not our forgiveness that we're working out and giving to other people. If that were true, then it'd only be there would only be enough forgiveness as Borghardt can work up inside himself. Not a lot of forgiveness. If the forgiveness that has been given to those around us is Christ's forgiveness, well, then there simply is no end to the forgiveness that we can that he has for those around us. Not 7 times, but 70 times 7, and not 490 times, but there is no end. As Luther says, in short, if God does not forgive without stopping, we are lost. And so we're going to forgive those around us too.
When we come back from this break, is repentance that goes along with this forgiveness of sins that in the daily life of the Christian is part and parcel of how we live, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Is it our work? If the forgiveness that we give out to others isn't something that we work up within ourselves to hand out, what about the repentance that we have before God? Is that our work or is it also God's work? We're talking about forgiveness tonight. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. Issues Etc. is a live call-in program. Our call-in number tonight, Sunday, February the 10th, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address tonight for your questions and comments as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, we'll answer that question. Is repentance our work or God's? And there are some odd passages where Jesus talks about the forgiveness of sins. He says things like, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. What exactly is he talking about there? We'll be right back.
Have you ever given some thought to the vocation of either pastor or deaconess? Well, Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne invite you to an on-campus visit this spring. These events allow you to visit with seminary faculty, staff, and students and obtain answers to your questions. Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne is hosting a Spring Invitational Campus Visit, March 26th through the 29th. And Concordia Seminary St. Louis invites you to attend an event titled Contemplate, March the 13th through the 15th. For more information on a visit this spring to Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, visit the What's New section of our website at issuesetc.org. Learn more about pastoral and deaconess formation by attending Contemplate, March 13th through the 15th at Concordia Seminary St. Louis, at a Spring Invitational Campus Visit March 26th through the 29th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the forgiveness of sins. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. Now, if you're a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I want you to listen carefully for a few minutes. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 in their annual budgets, preferably, to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Now, this will cover the entire $300,000 budget for the nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. To find out how your congregation can partner with us, just look for the LCMS logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and you can help us reach our goal of 300 church pledges of $1,000. issuesetc.org. Pastor Borghardt, we were talking before about repentance as it goes with the forgiveness of sins. Is repentance our work or is it God's?
On Ash Wednesday, we have that wonderful Joel chapter 2 reading, where Joel has God giving us the rend your heart, not your garments. God is the one who repents. He relents of doing us harm. The place where repentance begins. He's in God himself. He doesn't do us harm. And then, I mean, he has every right to do us harm. He has every right to do us in. Everything that about us is contrary to him, shooting up our spitballs and believing in him only as much as he gives us what we think we need, turning him into an idol. Rend your heart, not your garments. The Lord is gracious and merciful. slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and he repents of doing harm. And that repentance that he works, that he does, it's the old King James repents. Can't have God repenting. That just seems wrong. But that's what the text says. The repentance that that repentance of his repenting to do us harm is the repentance that he gives to us. The mercy and grace of God is what calls us, gives us repentance. The Christmas epistle. It's the mercy of God which brings repentance. God with his law comes at us, him first, and shows us our sin and shows us what kind of people we truly are. We don't love him with our whole heart. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves. Behind our repentance is his law, is his mercy, is his grace. And so if we were to take credit for our repentance, it would be like us, like I just got a new car. The problem with my old car was when I put it in reverse, it went forward. so I got this new car, and if I'm going to take credit for my repentance, it's the same as if I take credit for my car starting. I mean, I put my key in, but there's a lot of things that go on with my wonderful new car which cause my car to start. I'm not going to take credit for it. I'm just not. When the engine, the oil, you can tell that I'm really, really a mechanic. All these things, the gas, all of these things which go into my car starting, all right? The big deal is not that Borchardt puts the key in the car. Luther describes it as we're all beggars. I mean, the Lord grabs a beggar off the street. He cleans him up. He hoses him down. He puts garments on him. He sets him at the table, puts the plate in front of him, puts the fork in his hand. The beggar would never reach down the fork. The Lord even puts the food on the fork and lifts it up to his mouth. And the beggar would never say, well, the big deal is that I'm about to chew this food. That would be to be all about ourselves. The Lord does repentance. He works repentance in us by his gospel and most specifically by his law, which is a gift too, by his law. He's the one that works repentance, and he's the one that gets credit for repentance. So if we're gonna shoot a flare into the air and say the big deal is that I repent, well, you perhaps might need a little bit of more law, because there may be other things for you to repent of than just the sin that you've just repented of.
So God doesn't forgive us because we repent. We repent because God forgives.
Now that's good. You know, if God forgives us because we repent, then repentance is a work that we do that merits forgiveness. We don't normally... we're used to the way that Paul talks in the scriptures of a justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works, so that no man can boast. Good works count us not, they help and save us never. Well, that's a hymn. But when we talk about forgiveness, we don't suddenly forget about all that wonderful justification language that we get from Paul. When we talk about forgiveness, it's not that we work and then get something from God. It's that God changes everything about us, and faith says, amen. You are forgiven, faith says, amen. I mean, behind everything is the enlivening power of the Spirit who works faith. So the next time that someone needs to be resuscitated with those cool paddles, I went to visit somebody in the hospital. They don't have paddles anymore. They have patches. So how utterly lame and not as exciting on TV if they don't have those defibrillator paddles for them to put on somebody and go clear. Just two pads. If the person who is resuscitated pops up and says, "Well, it's a good thing I decided to live," that person may need some help. It's a good thing that the medical team worked. It's a good thing that everything happened to make it possible for you to be resuscitated. And with God, it's just the enlivening power of the Holy Spirit who works through the Word in which calls us to repent. And so all the credit goes to him.
I like the illustration. I had never considered this illustration before. I like the illustration of the dead man lying there. Heart's not beating. It's over. It's curtains for this guy. And along comes God with the paddles to enliven him, to resuscitate him. What fool would get up off the gurney after that and take credit for coming back to life? So one wonders why Christians spend a lot of time taking credit for what God has already worked in them, both repentance and the forgiveness of sins. When we come back, another question remains. That is, does God forgive me only so much as I repent? Do I have to worry about keeping track of everything and repenting accordingly to be sure that everything is indeed forgiven? And if I've forgotten something, do I have to worry that I haven't kept track carefully enough, and therefore I don't have full and free forgiveness? Folks, Pastor George Borghardt, our guest tonight to talk about forgiveness, has also written an article for the Next Issues Etc. Journal. It's titled No More Looking Inside. It's part of our Wittenberg Trail feature. It details the lack of comfort that he found in both Roman Catholicism, where he had to earn his way with God, and American Evangelicalism, where things weren't that different. We'd like to send you the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal free. Just call 1-800-737-0172 during this break and ask to receive the Issues Etc. Journal. 1-800-737-0172. In that next edition, you can also read an article that I've written on the Christian life. It's titled Sheep Don't Keep Track. It's in the Next Issues Etc. Journal. 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free copy of the Issues Etc. Journal when you call 1-800-737-0172. So is this how it works? After all is said and done, God is kind of a quid pro quo guy. What he wants from us is genuine sorrow and repentance. Well, if God only forgives so much as I repent, then how sorry do I have to be? And will I ever be sure that I've been sorry enough for all the right things, and I mean all the right things, so that I know that I'm forgiven? Does God expect us to be sorry enough? We'll answer that question after this.
Do you struggle with the Christian teaching on the Trinity? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled On the Nature of God and Trinity. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or look for the cover of On the Nature of God and Trinity at our homepage, issuesetc.org. On the Nature of God and Trinity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February.
Did you know that the total budget for the nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. is approximately $300,000? We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. Just look for the LCMS logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org, to find out how your congregation can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Help us reach our goal of 300 church pledges of $1,000. issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
Do Christians make progress in doing good works? What are the Christian's good works for? And can a Christian ever do a perfect good work? I've written an article for the next Issues Etc. journal on the subject of sanctification and good works. And we'd like to send you the next journal free. Simply call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. The next journal also contains an article by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller titled, Can You Make a Decision for Christ? Does your salvation depend on questions like, have you invited Jesus into your heart? Have you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you dedicated your life to Christ? You'll find answers in the next Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free copy, 1-800-737-0172.
You know, the time comes when a wise man knows the best thing that he can do. Just look her in the eye and beg for mercy and face the bitter truth.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about forgiveness with Pastor George Burghardt, Associate Pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Forgiving the Unforgivable. Last week I was talking with Pastor Dennis Meeker. He's pastor of Springs of Life Lutheran Church in Kibera, Kenya. Now, you've heard about all the post-election violence there in Kenya. He's right in the middle of it. He described his church gutted and ransacked, the clinic attached to the church burned to where it cannot be repaired. It has to be completely rebuilt. Pastor Meeker also talked about the touch of mercy that's being provided by Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief there in Kibera. Find out more about their efforts in Kenya at our homepage, issuesetc.org. You can also earmark a donation for any of their projects in Kenya by calling 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. A couple questions before we go to the phones. I'm still trying to sort out the formula here, if you will, and maybe the formula is all wrong. It seems to me that if God forgives me in proportion to my repentance, that is, he forgives me so much as I repent, or for only those sins for which I consciously repent, then I'm doomed. I'm done, because I can't remember them all, and I've never been able to be sorry enough as my sins warrant.
Sorry enough, repented enough, have I done enough, am I working enough? All eyes on whom?
Well, I guess me.
Yeah. Lent is a time where we take our eyes off of ourselves, fix them on Jesus. Did Jesus die for all my sins? Yes. Did Jesus die for that sin? Yes. Did he die for that other sin? Yes. Formulas. Oh, formulas are law. Here's a formula. The soul that sins shall die. The gospel is forgiveness, achieved on the cross, delivered in the word, the water, the bread, and the wine. I got to go to Sheboygan, Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago. I got to see snow. I never get to see snow in Texas. There's never snows here. And if it did snow, thank God we wouldn't know what to do with snow. I think we had a freeze one time. We didn't know what to do with that. Everything covered in white stuff, inches and inches of it, That is salvation. The Lord has covered everything with white, all of us. You, me, everyone. Of course, we can dig a little bit and you know, try on our own and see how that goes. And if you dig in snow, sooner or later you get to the nasty stuff which is underneath. Ick. I had never started digging. And on our own, we can get what we earn for trying to be sorry enough, for trying to be work hard enough, for trying to do enough to be saved. That gets us death and hell, the fires of hell. If he has died for all, the whole world, then he has made everything white. Come, let us reason together. Let's make a deal. Though your sins be like scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. That's forgiveness. That's eternal life. Achieved and then delivered. Now, rejectable, because the Lord never, ever, ever forces anyone to believe. You can look at you and say, I don't want to be forgiven. I think I need to make it up on my own. Well, then go at it. Have at it and see how that goes for you. When I was 5 years old, I didn't want my parents as parents anymore. And my mother tells this story. It's how to make a Lutheran is to have a good Roman Catholic Italian mother. And she looks at me and I said, I don't want you as my mom anymore. She says, well, there's the door. And so she says, very defiantly, I walked 2 blocks to my grandparents' house, and you've got this picture of this five-year-old walking down the street determined I'm going to go about things on my own. And it began to rain. How very fitting. And I knock on my grandparents' door, and they're not home. And so defeated, head down, knocking on the door of my parents' house, please let me in. I have no place else to go. We want to go about life on our own with how much we repent and that sort of religion where we do and therefore earn. God says, okay, there's the door. You can try that. See how that goes. Knock on the doors and see if you can find comfort there. But the gospel is, if you keep a record of our wrongs, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared.
It's Sunday night, February the 10th. We're happy to respond to your phone calls and your email on the subject of forgiveness for the rest of tonight's program. Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, everyone with a question or a comment tonight on forgiveness will receive a free pamphlet titled, What About Confession and Forgiveness? 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to Eric in Holton, Kansas. He's listening and patiently waiting on KCVT. Hi, Eric.
Good evening.
Hello.
My fear is that, and I agree with most of everything that was put out here tonight, except that it's way to the gospel side. I didn't hear any law there at all. I wonder what we do with baptism. Isn't that for efficacious for forgiveness of sins? Why do we go to communion if we don't have sins to be forgiven? And my question is, as a pastor, you have the power to forgive those sins that are repented for and to retain those who are not. That's the office of the keys. How can you retain sins if there are no sins?
Okay, Eric, a great series of questions. First of all, Pastor Borghardt, were you saying that we have no sins to be forgiven?
My goodness, no. I would say that all that we have is, all that we do on our own is sinful. Daily and much. Too much gospel. I like that. If you focus on me, you're going to only find death. Sin. Hell. If you take your eyes off of me and fix them on Christ, you find Christ for me, dying for me, my death on the cross. rising for me, my life in him. So, now, that does no good, his death and his resurrection, unless that's delivered to me, which is the business of, which is, you know, the word, which is preached into my ears. The absolution spoken to me by pastor, I forgive you all your sins. The baptism, which washes my sins down my forehead, and the Lord's body and blood, which give to me eternal life, for where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. So without the delivery of what Christ did for me, what Christ did for me does me no good. So that's where the means of grace are.
Are those something I do or something God does?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. That's the Lenten season. Please take your eyes off of me and what I'm doing. I don't do baptism. I don't do confession. I don't do the Lord's Supper. I'm there receiving. A passive faith receives. But once again, let's not point to me and what's going on with me, and certainly let's not make it a work that I do that merits forgiveness. That's Rome.
Okay, we've got about a minute before we need to take a break, and begin a response, if you would, on Eric's question about, and I raised this earlier, Jesus talks about both forgiving and retaining sins. We usually call this the office of the keys. 1 minute before we go to a break.
We reject God. We want our sins. We want to hold them back. We want to keep them for ourselves. We do not want to give them to him. We want to go about life on our own. The word that he says to us is a retaining word from the mouth of our pastor and from God himself. Yet that sin that you are holding back is not forgiven. That is excommunication. That is the retaining of sins. And that is to cause repentance. He preaches Luke 24, repentance unto the forgiveness of sins. And when that law does its work, that I'm going to hell because I'm holding my sins to myself, then confess your sins, come clean, and receive the Lord's forgiveness. From the pastor, as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by that absolution, my sins are forgiven.
George Borghardt is our guest. He's associate pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's authored an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Forgiving the Unforgivable. We have several articles on forgiveness posted under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Still time for your questions or your comments on forgiveness. Our in-studio email address this Sunday night, February the 10th, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or you can call 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call us or email us, 1-800-730-2727. issuesetc@kfuo.org. More on forgiveness with Pastor George Borghardt after this. Bishop Walter Obari of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya on the work of LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief has come to our church as a real relief organization and has really supported a lot of projects in our church. An example is relief to our pastors by giving a cow to every pastor, which has been done to all pastors now, and LCMS World Relief has come in to support. Our deaconesses are working with women. It is true that God really sent LCMS World Relief to come to our aid at a real critical time, at a real time of need. The presence of LCMS in our church has been felt almost in every corner of the church by what has been taking place.
To support the work of LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free 888-930-4438.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Arthur Just on why a woman should consider studying for the vocation of deaconess at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, or Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
Here the motto, that is spoken by Lutheran deaconesses says it best. What is my want? I want to serve. Whom do I want to serve? The Lord in his suffering ones and his poor. I think many, many women out there are just very anxious to be involved in this kind of care. But they know that in order to do it, they need a strong theological foundation. And deaconesses now are being trained at both seminaries to serve our church here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I couldn't be more excited about the prospects for the future.
To find out about the deaconess programs at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org. We're talking about forgiveness tonight with Pastor George Borghardt. Here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number is 1-800-737-0172. And our website address is issuesetc.org. You can use any of those to receive a free copy of the next Issues Etc. journal or to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. That's our monthly or annual donor program. The address box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The resource line number 1-800-737-0172 or our website address issuesetc.org. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. This email comes from Jeff in McKinney, Texas. He writes, forgiveness is the doctrinal difference which sets Christianity apart from every other religion. The fact that this forgiveness comes entirely from outside of us is the miraculous difference which makes the gospel the, quote, power of God unto salvation. In justification in Christ, if justification in Christ by the forgiveness of sins is not the truth and the center of our faith, then Jesus was a ridiculous liar with the personality of a megalomaniac. If this forgiveness is true, then we have been given everything from the hand of God himself. Thank the Lord for the Lamb sitting on the throne of his power, still looking as if he has been slain. Your thoughts there on Jeff's email.
Jeff needs to be interviewed on Sunday night. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm going to ask myself a question so that you can send me a pamphlet, because I want that pamphlet on confession and absolution.
Okay, ask yourself the question.
All right. Who's the focus on? If the focus is upon me, well, then there is only woe to me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, from a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory, Isaiah. If the focus is upon Christ outside of me, eternal life and salvation, his being beaten for me, his being bruised for me, his being dragged for me, his being mocked for me, his being spit upon for me, his being nails driven into his hands and feet for me, his being lifted up above the earth and looking around at people who are prophesied to us, Christ, if you are the Christ, come down from the cross. You saved others, let him save himself. Looking at people who seem to know what they're doing and saying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. For me, hyssop on a stick, touching his lips so that he can cry out, to tell us, die. Wilkins sins, Borghardt sins. The sins of the whole world forgiven. It's not about me. No focus on me. The gospel is outside of me in the for you, Christ crucified for me. And that's my forgiveness. And that's our life. Can't have too much of that. Did that question work? Do I get myself a pamphlet? Because I want one of those pamphlets.
Be happy to send you one.
Thanks.
I'll let you work that out with Jeff after... If we're concluded here,
holding you to it, because if you try to go to communion, you know, after this, and you don't send me my pamphlet, then you have knowledge that someone has something against you.
I'll try and leave no doubt debt outstanding except that of love. 1-800-7
loving one another.
1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730
2727. Let's see what Julia has to say in Rock, Kansas, listening on KCVW. Hi, Julia. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. We just wanted to know what the difference between acceptance and receive is.
Ooh.
All right. Thank you very much. Good, quick question.
Dekomai in Greek can mean accept or receive. I think receive is better because receive is passive. Dekomai, by the way, that's a good word. Receiving is passive. He does it all and gives it to us as a gift. And if you want to take accept, that's fine. But don't put the spotlight on you, because when the spotlight's on you, the question is: are you clinging hard enough to that word? Are you sorry enough? Are you repentant enough? Keep it passive. Keep it gift. He does it all and delivers it to me as a gift. And then faith clings to that. Amen.
Isn't this really as you've pointed out several times in our conversation, really the twofold work of God's word, to first, through, as you said before, through the clear preaching of God's law, turn my eyes upon myself to see myself as I really am before God, God's view of me, how God looks at me as a sinner, according to the perfect standard of his law. And then the other work of God's word is to then turn my eyes from myself to Christ's perfect life that was lived on behalf of me, that word of both law and gospel.
Yes. But the gospel came clear to Luther. He has different ways of describing it. He says, well, I understood the proper distinction between law and gospel. I understood the two righteousnesses, the righteousness which God requires and the righteousness which God gives. You know, I understand that salvation is by grace and not by what I do. These are all ways of saying the same thing. You know, when we're talking about forgiveness, we are talking about the Lord doing his work on us by means of his law, working repentance for us. That's his doing. He's putting the paddles on us. And then he resuscitates us.
Two quick final questions.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm trying to think of how to best put this. If the emphasis is on me and what I do, can I ever be certain that there is forgiveness?
No. All you can do is deceive yourself into some sort of self-righteousness that you've done enough. But when the lights go off and you're in your room by yourself, you know the truth. Outside of you, if it all depends on him and his dying for you and his tetelestai, I've done it all. I've answered it all. I've paid everything that Todd Wilkin owes. Well, then there is simply no end to the certainty of that can come from that, because it all rests on Jesus. And if you grab Jesus and say, "Is all, including Borchardt and Wilkin, including all the world? Are you answering for all the world as he dies?" Tetelestai is his answer.
30 seconds. What do you say to someone who says, "Look, I can't forgive this other person. He or she harmed me too much." 30 seconds to respond.
Well, my first answer would be, then you are saying that person, Christ didn't die for that person. And when they say, "Pastor, I'm doing the best I can to forgive them. I know that Christ died for them. I know that he rose for them. And the hurt is so much that I'm doing the best that I can to forgive them. And I'm praying all the more that the Lord would work repentance and forgiveness in me for them," I would say, then we're going to have to cling to someone outside of you for that forgiveness, aren't we? We're going to have to cling to the Lord and his all atoning sacrifice on the cross.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night, February the 10th. We'll continue to respond to your phone calls and to your email on forgiveness, and we'll continue to give away the pamphlet, Confession and Absolution, to everyone who calls or sends us an email in the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, be sure to tune in live next hour on the internet, issuesetc.org, and click Listen Online there. The next hour's conversation will only be broadcast on the internet, issuesetc.org. We continue the conversation on forgiveness with Pastor George Burkhart in the next hour. And you can call us during this break, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Happy to take your questions or your comments for the next hour's conversation on the internet. You can email them to us as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, if God forgives me only so much as I repent, or if God is waiting for me to repent, or if God expects me to be able to enumerate every last sin, who could? I think I'd spend the rest of my life doing nothing but enumerating all my sins, and even while I counted them, they would still be piling up behind me. If God forgives me conditionally, in other words, conditioned on anything in me, then I'm not forgiven, and neither are you. If God's waiting for me to do something before he dispenses the forgiveness that Christ earned for me in his perfect life, death, and resurrection, in his blood spilt there at the cross, then none of it's any good for me. God did not wait, and he does not wait. The same God who sent his Son Jesus Christ to live as the perfect substitute for you and for me, in perfect obedience, without sin, and to bear in his body our sins at the cross and pay in full for all of them, the same God who did that also does this. He comes to sinners who are his enemies, and rather than trying to seek peace with them, he makes peace. He works repentance, and he delivers the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Listen each week to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.